sets the scene with a cosmic choir. At first, everything is beautiful. Everyone's singing in harmony. Hearts are perfectly intertwining with one another. And then a lone voice begins singing his own part, making it up as he goes along. Part clashes with the rest of the carefully prepared music. Choir director cuts everyone off and looks intently at the choir, giving the kind of look that only choir directors can give that always communicates volumes.
What?
They begin again. Again, the beautiful harmonies arise, and again, a single voice attempts to make his own improvement that actually clashes with the others. The story is profound in that, in its simplicity, it communicates so much. On one hand, the Silmarillion is a story that sets up his later works of, actually it's a prequel, but it was set up to tell the stories of Middle Earth and set the scene for The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. But on the other hand, it was also a way of giving theological commentary to the human condition. In the simplicity of this story, it describes two states, one in harmony and one out of harmony. One in order, the other going towards chaos. And this is because the original state, both within the choir in the story and also for us human beings, was meant to be in order. It was meant to be in harmony, and the discord was an aberration. In this case, the act of one individual pursuing his own agenda rather than the agenda established by a higher power. And the choir director, throughout this, sought to restore the harmony that was intended. The readings for today give us some complementary visions, visions of what some Christians might have described as the end times. And the end times, they go through a lot. These are the things that happen after Christ returns, and eventually the world is set right. Now in some cases, like we had in the gospel today, the text describes some pretty difficult things that humanity and the world go through in getting to the later stage. Now, they stress the apocalypse and tragedy. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom. These things are necessary to come to pass, drawing from the words of Jesus. But then we also have another vision, which is, you know, the end after the end. What is on the other side? And we see this in the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. Shows what has come after the trials, after the difficult part. And when we know there is something on the other end, it becomes so much easier to deal with the challenges of the present, or even of the future. I wonder if this last week, as many of us were celebrating Veterans Day, if a lot of veterans' experience was like what one person told me a while back, and going through boot camp and basic training. When this person knew there was something on the other end, it made all the hard work, all the discipline, all the training, you know, it gave him something to look forward to, and saying like, yes, I can handle this. I can handle this difficult part because I know there is something on the other end. But if we are to use that analogy to extend to the human condition and to the gospel and God's redemption of the world, what is it that we can look forward to? You know, what is the images, or you know, what is it just a way of understanding what we are looking forward to? And to gain this understanding, we can look both forwards and backwards. Forwards towards the images of prophets like Isaiah, how the wolf shall lie down with the lamb and such. And backwards towards the original harmony that was established at the beginning of creation. St. Thomas Aquinas described a concept that he called original justice. And in short, original justice was human beings rightly in harmony and unity with God, with one another, with all of creation. And this was the state of humanity before the fall. In original justice, the human being's mind and will